They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Are growing out, and the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if that we all put our, we all water.
What? I'm out, man.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand all new Chip and Drip here on the AAT Sports Network and AAT Birds. I am Chip for the Birds, joined by Ooh Oracle and Real Prince Blue to discuss. We've got a very special topic tonight. Gentlemen, the Sixers dominate the Raptors in games 1 and 2. Like, it wasn't even close. And it is beautiful, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about all of it. So I'm excited. We already got people rolling into the comments. We got Maddie saying, hey. We got Mikey staying up way past bedtime saying sports. Yes, Adam, hell of a game. Sixers in 4. It's not even a competition now. Hi, yo. Yeah, we're going to get it in tonight. So real quick, go around. First initial thoughts of the game. JD, let's start with you. Or the first two games even.
They're playing a team that doesn't have as much, man. That's really what we're looking at. We're looking at a team be completely dominated because they don't have enough dudes. Like, there's not enough dudes anywhere for them. They're just getting completely dominated. Joel is doing what he wants. To be honest, I don't feel that great about Harden. I think Harden's going back into his kind of his playoff things that he does when he goes into the playoffs. He's not as dominant. You don't see him with as much like just straight domination, but we're watching a Maxi that's coming back from last playoff and doing the same thing he did last playoff. So that's good to see. So that's all I got so far.
Prince, what you got? Because you're rocking out the swag right now.
I got that Harden doesn't need to be dominant because of Young Bull and everybody else is stepping up. Uh-huh. Harden was bought here for last game, particularly when the Raptors tried to go on that run, and he rattled off 5 straight, and he stopped that run. Harden, honestly, in a way, I'm kind of like Harden. He's had everything in his league, and this is by far the most talented dude he's ever played with and probably the best team he's played with. So he doesn't have to dominate the ball like he did back on those older teams. So I don't take much from him not scoring 25 to 30. I mean, he's still impacting the game, and underrated that what has not been seen is he's dialed in defensively. Like, we remember when he was Matador. He was like, whatever, I got to score 35-40, so whoever I'm supposed to quote-unquote guard can get theirs. He's been locked in. He's been communicating. I'm really not worried about Harden. I'm not worried about Tobias. I'm not worried about Embiid. Yes, this is a beat-up and depleted team. But that same beat-up and depleted team, people were saying this was a pick-em. And now that they're whooping the Raptors' ass, now it's like, well, they don't have anybody, or they're not going to beat, not you, JD, but the national narrative is saying that. But I'm like, you play who you play. If it was any other team beating up on the Raptors, they'll be giving them flowers, but because it's the Sixers, like, oh boy, it's just the Raptors, and they don't have their best people, so I'm not trying to hear all that. Sixers up 2-0, that's what's mostly important.
Yeah, I think that part of the problem was that it was a 4-5 matchup, and you saw the Sixers dropping towards the end of the season, and while that was happening, you started to hear that narrative built up from all these other coaches going, well, they can only score because these guys are going to the line. They can only score because these guys are going to the line. You take them off the line, they're not – stop fouling. You're fouling them because, like, you play pickup ball and you foul that guy who's just dominating you because that's the only way you can stop him, right? You hack him, you slap him, you do whatever you can, and that's what you're seeing here. You're seeing – the most dominant player in the game today, and all they can do is foul him, and he's still making circus shots. So I don't even want to hear all that. So yeah, before the playoffs, it's a 4-5 matchup. They're kind of trending down. They're They're not really locked in. Doc doesn't have the rotations. You know, they're still putting DeAndre Jordan on the court, which, you know, was – but we know that the bench shortens in the playoffs. And what you said, Prince, is that, you know, everyone's stepping up. Like, Tobias Harris had a double-double tonight. Maxi was one rebound and two assists away from a triple-double after going off for 38 last game. Like, these guys are doing what they need to do. I think that Harden is – He's showing his age a little bit, but with that being said, he's still a threat. He is still a legitimate threat on the court. And, you know, you got Danny Green dunking on people tonight. Like, yeah. Oh, Danny boy.
Go ahead, Prince.
I'm saying my knees hurt watching Danny
Green. What? Wait, did you see when he came? Like, because they immediately called a timeout because it was a momentum knockout. And Niang goes over and starts, like, rubbing his knees down, like, to make, like, immediately getting, like, the ice pack for the boy.
Because if anybody understands how it is to not be able to jump, it's your boy George Niang.
He's the most unathletic basketball player on that team.
And that's he's that dude that goes to the gym and just shoots lights out. You're like, what am I going to do? Listen, what am I going to do?
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there. And you guys both said some very cool things. I'm going to be a little negative right now. So I'm just letting you know. I'm just going to. I was happy to see Doc call a timeout, but he didn't change anything. Like, they
went not a single thing.
All they did was go back out there doing the same thing they were doing before. So for me, I'm not.
This team is not winning because of Doc's brilliant coaching. Let's be very clear about that.
Let's be very clear about that. And in the national broadcast, they showed up, well, Doc wins tonight. He wins 100. He has 100 wins in the playoffs. And I'm like, okay, cool. But you put him up against Pop. Like, these guys are ahead of him. It's like, it's not even close. Like, yeah, he'll
win. But not if you ask him. Not if you ask Doc. Doc is right in the narrative with those guys.
Yeah.
And how dare you ask him questions that hurt his feelings?
You see my girl? They said Dawn Staley was in the house.
Yeah, Dawn's Adam. Dawn Staley. I love that. I love her.
I love Dawn Staley.
Can we stop with Dawn Staley being a head coach, please? She's already a head coach. That's what I'm talking about. This is why, and I'm gonna go on the tangent a little bit. This is why people don't take women's basketball seriously, because as soon as they get a face and somebody that can revolutionize the sport, somebody with the swag like Dawn Staley, you want to shoot them off. You want to shoot that person off to the men. You want them to coach the men. No, let her be the face of the NCAA women's. Let her be the first and only Dawn Staley, because that's what she's doing right now. She has people talking about basketball at a football school. Dawn Staley.
It's not a football school.
The Gamecocks aren't a football school?
Where have the Gamecocks won?
They're still their biggest boosters is on the football side.
The only statue they got at the whole place is a picture of Asia Wilson. It's a statue of Asia Wilson. So it's not a football school.
So, okay, so my point being, why do y'all want to brush her off to the NBA?
No, I don't think he's saying it as a negative thing. I think he's saying it like, yo, she's got the juice. Like, she will be the first. She will be the first. I'm telling you right now, she's going to be the first coach, the first female coach in the NBA.
I'll eat a medium rare steak if she becomes the head coach in the NBA.
Is that a bad thing?
Yes. For me, it is.
Oh, you like it? You like it where it's like completely
leather, raw.
Oh, you want it like throw it up against a wall, like it's like a.
And then bounce back to me with A1 sauce next.
That's
absolutely. Now, I still think Becky Hammon's going to be your first female coach.
I don't think she's going to be.
I think they're going to wait for Pop to retire and just be like, here.
Well, I thought that too, but then they moved her to the Aces. So now she's with Las Vegas Aces. So now I feel like the only natural progression to be the first female coach in the NBA is going to be Dawn Staley. I think she's going to win. She's probably going to win 3 more championships at South Carolina. That'll be around the time that she needs to come. Doc Rivers is going to somehow screw this thing up, which he always does.
Man is going to listen to Dawn Staley.
You crazy, bro.
Okay.
Well, all right, let's listen. This is a whole nother show. We're doing post-game here, okay. Right? Because the Sixers are up 2-0. Okay. Now, one of the biggest storylines was we have an unvaccinated player. And now we know who it is. And now Matisse Thybulle can't play in Canada.
That won't matter.
One thing that I will say, and I, JD, you and I have had enough conversations to know that I do not think very highly of Glenn Rivers. He has barely played Matisse Thybulle in games 1 and 2. He has not factored him into the rotation. And I think if the whole Canada thing wasn't an issue, he would be your sixth man off the bench. But B-Ball Paul got more minutes than Matisse tonight.
Great. Fantastic.
That's probably the smart thing.
That's a good coaching decision.
Yes.
They probably – it probably was like somebody was like, well, we're playing Toronto. We know Matisse ain't going to get us no shot, so we got to have to play without it.
It's almost like he played 19 minutes in the first game, but a lot of that was mop-up time.
And honestly, again, another underrated part of this game that nobody's talking about, Tobias Harris has done a pretty good defensive job on Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
So why do you – so now what is Matisse known for? He's known for defense. Well,
because he's not shooting.
Because he's not shooting. And defensively, people are still running by him. He's still undisciplined. So exactly what is he really giving you consistently? So why not ride with somebody that is at least going to give you points and give you energy and stay in front of their man like a Paul Reed, like a B-Ball Paul? So I have no issues with what Doc is doing. And I love that he's making basketball decisions, not decisions based on emotions and feelings. If he could not put in his right-hand man, DJ, then Thybulle has no shot. He has no shot.
All right. Can we? All right. So we are talking about the playoffs, and we need to talk about this. We're getting so excited. The Toronto Raptors are booty cheeks, bro. Like, let's just be completely.
You still got to beat them.
They're still 4 of the 16 wins you need.
I understand what you're saying. I get that. So everybody, take what I'm saying and just take the team out of it. Mm-hmm. This is the first round. And we are being very dominant against a team that we know is now nowhere near where we should be.
Who knows? The national media had it as a pick'em.
Those dudes are idiots. Like, look at it. Like, we know what's real. Like, so we've been talking about this all the time. The playoffs don't start for us until round number 2. That's when the playoffs start for the Sixers. And it looks like right now we're probably going to end up drawing Miami. You know, that's probably what's going to be the next draw. So let's just
be and honest. That's going to be a fight.
And that will be the fight. So while everybody's up here getting like, oh, Doc's making these great decisions, Doc, like I said earlier, Doc took a timeout tonight and didn't change shit. All he did was say, hey, dudes, I'm giving you a break for 5 minutes. I think you're tired. So
at one point, the Raptors went on a 15-0 run.
20-2.
15-0. Like, it wasn't. I think that the Sixers are definitely the better squad. They are the team with more depth for sure. They've got the better overall players. So that's all great. When we go up against Miami in the next round, so we need to use this first round as a straight confidence builder. I do not even want to lose one game to Toronto. Go up there, shut it down. Get your rest because you're going to need it. Because I think Atlanta will steal at least one for Miami. They'll steal at least one from Miami because Trae Young is too good of a shooter to contain him that much. I think they get at least one, but then you're going to have a pretty well-rested Miami team too. And then you've got Joel versus Bam. You've got Maxey versus Lowry. You've got Butler versus Harris. Like, you've got – or Butler versus
– Harden.
Harden. Or, I mean, you got, you know, Tyler Hero coming out of the woodwork. You've got all these shooters. Duncan.
Yeah.
Every single player on Miami is a baller. That is a team that is primed for a run.
Okay. So let's throw this out there. Now, I'm going to pose this question to both of you guys. I think you guys can answer it. So we're just going to go ahead. Let's say this game is a 4-game series. Let's say both games go to a 4-game series. I think with the Heat, they're so much of dogs that they're not going to let nobody beat them. Like, it's going to take an act of – like, Trae ain't going to do what he did to the Sixers last year to this Heat team. They got dudes everywhere, and they got vets. So now I had to take a deep breath tonight when Embiid goes in there and gets knocked on his – you know, every single time I have to do that. Are y'all worried about durability for Embiid going forward?
No.
Yes.
If things get more chippy?
No.
I am discovering that if they do decide to take the Oscar away from Will Smith. Pretty much any member of the Sixers and of the Raptors can accept the award for best actor because it is some of the world's shittiest flops I've ever seen. And as Don's saying here, right, the best part of Toronto's game right now is just to foul everybody. And they're fouling them hard. So for Nick Nurse to go ahead and be like, oh, well, the refs better watch out for a physical game and we're not getting the calls. First off, he's going to get fined because he's critiquing the refs. But then secondly, for him to go out and his game plan is to foul and foul hard. What bugs me isn't actually the injury piece. It's the Joel Embiid realizing how important he is to this team and not getting stupid technical and flagrant fouls. His tech tonight, OG Okojobi or whatever his name is not equal to, like, whatever OG provides to the Raptors is not equal to what Joel Embiid provides to the Sixers. He has got to not fall into that crap.
That tech wasn't his fault. He got pushed and he didn't do anything. He didn't even retaliate. No.
The T was after. So he got pushed. It was at the beginning of the game. He got pushed, and then Joel Embiid came back and pushed back. Well, and they both got teed.
Ain't nobody fucking pushing me, and I ain't doing nothing about it. I mean,
I get it, but like it's the playoffs. So in the playoffs, you only have a certain amount of tech you're allowed to have before you miss a game.
But Chip, you also got to understand too. The refs ain't stupid. They know they ain't kicking Embiid out the game. So, I mean, it was a push. I mean, but at the end of the day, listen, I hear all that y'all talk about. I get it. Miami's tough to play. It's tough to even play in Miami because of that nightlife, and you never know how people are going to respond to that. But honestly, if it's a six, seven-game series with Miami, I'm good because nobody flops bigger than Kyle Lowry. What you've seen from the Heat is they're physical – but if you push back, they're human, and if they know they're not the bullies, then you got a shot. As soon as they know that they're the bullies, you have no shot. And I don't see them bullying Harden. I don't see them bullying Embiid. I damn sure don't see them bullying Maxey. I mean, you just going to see a hard-fought game. And, you know, going back to the Raptors series, the same thing. The reason why I'm not worried about Embiid's durability, because they were hacking him. They were trying to get him up out of there, but he gets up. He's and a lot of those injuries are based upon the shape you're in. Embiid has been a totally different person these past two seasons. So when he falls and he hops back up and, you know, he winces it off. And a little bit of it is, let's be honest, I hope y'all thought the same thing too. Joel's a little bit of an actor.
That's what I said. He deserves the Oscar that they're going to take away from Will Smith.
Then he drops 40. The whole, my elbow. Then he drops 12 straight. I'm good on that. He's just proving to me now that he wants it more, and no little nick or anything like that is going to keep him off the court.
I'll take it.
Agreed.
He's with us. he's with us. Like throwing that out there. Like he's for his squad.
All right. So we're all in agreement that this is a 4-game series, and if it's not, we got a problem.
Not that we have a problem.
Let me back it up. It's a 4-game series, and anything other than that is somebody took their foot off the gas. Exactly.
He is commentating what we're saying. Those are my exact thoughts. If we drop more than one game to this guy,
thanks, Mikey. Adam's saying like, yeah, they're gonna drop one like they always do, and I wouldn't be surprised. I just need it to not be.
What if they don't, Chip?
That's what I expect. I am of the mindset, and I've always been this way, and it's why like watching the Philadelphia Eagles is really frustrating for me. Is the idea of playing to the level of your opponent. I am not about that, right? If you were in contention to be the number one seed like you were, and you've got the most dominant player in the game, and you've got the most improved player in the league, even if he wasn't a finalist for the damn award, we're going to talk about that in a second, you need to go out and step on their throat. You don't take the pressure. Like you go. You take them out because it's for the good of your team. You need to go 16 up to win. You have to win 16 games. You go out and you play every one of those games full on, full throttle. You don't take one off because you're in Toronto.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here. And the number one thing that we need to talk about with this little piece of it is that, yes, they could legitimately sweep Toronto. But there's also another part of this thing that we also need to be ready for is that they could lose two games in Toronto. Like, that's also a possibility. They got punished away. You know, Toronto got punished away, but you know how Air Canada is. Air Canada is going to have energy. It's going to be live and raucous. Are you going to be worried if they drop two in Toronto? Now you got to go on a whole nother, you know, now you got a real series.
Yes, then I'm worried.
I don't think that will happen. I don't think that will happen. Let's just go ahead and preface that. I don't think that will happen. I think if something happens, they may steal one. They may steal the second one of the three because Philly may want to end it in Philly. Like, that's the only way I could see it. And, you know, that's what it is. I think with this team being full of vets, with Joel being there for a while, you know, Harden really needing rest. He's getting a little older. Danny Green wanting to get rest. I think they will take care of it in the four games. But my calls for pause, if they do drop two, I'm going to start to kind of look like, okay, bro, we got to do better and take care of business.
And I think dropping two is a cause for concern. But what I have to ask you is, what is so different about this team that gets on a plane and plays in Toronto? Like, they've won both games by almost 20 points. The one game they won by 20 points, the other one they almost won by 20 points. Is just traveling to Toronto that big of a difference?
It's human nature. You're up to, and some people who don't have the focus,
correct,
material, killer instincts like a Kobe, rest in peace, or MJ or Shaq, they take games lightly. They took care of home court. We're going to find out what this Sixer team really is about game three on Wednesday, because you start stealing games from another person's floor. Those are the legit teams. Those are the teams that go beyond. Those are the teams that get to where they need to be, because winning at home is easy. You're staying at home. You're with your old lady. You're with your kids.
You're in your routine. Yep.
In your routine. On the road is different, because I've heard that Toronto nightlife ain't no joke.
This Sixers team has done better on the road than they've been at home.
And that's what I'm happy about.
Regular season, well on the road, but that's the regular season. Yeah, we gotta remember Toronto was still closed for a lot of their games. They ain't even have full capacity. They have full capacity. Thibault can't play. There's a lot of different things that are happening. I don't think
I'm not worried about Thibault.
No, I'm not worried about. We know we're not worried about Thibault.
Danny Green and Toby need to fill the defensive void in games three and four. Yep.
Listen,
and have this be done with.
I hear it all that. I hear all the stuff about that. It's just going to be a different atmosphere when they're coming in here and they know their back is against the wall. Really? And things just going to fall over like that?
Wait. Ready? Glenn tried to tell a joke in his post-game conference.
Let's hear it.
Nobody laughed because he's an asshole.
Let's hear it. Let's go, Glenn.
Well, Danny downs each 100%. I mean, that's equivalent to me dunking right now. So that was great. That's, you know, we laugh because he'll dunk in the practice every once in a while, and the whole team now yells game shots. Like, no, that's not a game shot. Now he can get us back. So
the joke was that it's the equivalent to him dunking.
Well,
so was it that it wasn't a funny joke, or was a factual statement?
No, they both have the same knees, so it's kind of funny and truthful.
But listen, hold on, wait. Listen to the room, though. Hold on, let's get to that part.
100%. I mean, that's equivalent to me dunking right now. So that was great. That's, you know,
they didn't
so
get it. It went over their head. It went over their head.
No, what did I just watch?
Doc tried to tell a joke.
Doc tried to tell a joke.
Doc is a fucking idiot, bro. Like, let me be real.
He's not an idiot. He's stubborn.
I hate Glenn. Listen, I'm telling you this. I've been saying this since the beginning. Glenn Rivers is boo boo trash can juice.
You don't win 1,000 games being boo boo trash.
Look at this. You do if you have some of the greatest players in NBA history on you.
Shit. Phil Jackson.
He is not coaching them to win.
Phil Jackson is boo boo.
He's not in the same stratosphere as Phil Jackson. What are you talking about?
I'm asking the question. Is Phil Jackson boo boo?
No.
He had the best players arguably all time. Is he boo boo? You still
he's got most rings of all time, too. Like, what are we talking about?
Like, he finished the job.
Yes.
You still have to coach him. Doc has a ring, too.
Is this a family show?
Let's cut this out.
Go ahead.
All right, listen.
Dude, say what you got to say.
I already told you this before. It's like, let's say you're in a relationship with a young lady. You about to go into the...
Already...
No, I'm about to let you hear it.
I already heard this one.
No, this is gonna be a better one than the last one. This is
Mikey later. Earmuffs if you're watching.
Earmuffs, Mikey. This is not content for you, bud. So you're in the room with a young lady. You have consent, of course, because you always need consent. But she says, I want to try something different. And she does something to you never had before. And guess what? She just uses her hand and she gets you all riled up and she doesn't do anything. That's Doc Rivers. He gets you all riled up, and then he uses his hand. Like, what is this about? Like, why did I come here for this? Like, why did I come here for this? You know why, Prince? Because that is who Doc Rivers is. He's going to get us all riled up in this playoff thing. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, we can do it.
He's riled up. We're 2-0. My thing is, when we going to start being fans?
Never.
You got to be fans. You got to enjoy the moment. They're up.
I hear what you're saying. And I think that for the first time, looking at this playoff series, looking at, you know, Maxey dropping 38, looking at Embiid doing whatever he wanted tonight, looking at Danny Green dunking, I think that you do have some of the fans kicking in. But no. I think that the idea of being a Philadelphia fan is you're always looking for the next shoe to drop.
1, 2, 3.
When was that last one?
83.
Shit, man. Most of us weren't even alive, dog.
Nick Nurse is complaining about the refs. Shall we?
Let's see it.
Well, we did draw a couple charges. We
is that absolutely a poster in the corner?
On the challenge. I don't see how that's not a charge. I mean, they see it live and it looks like a charge. We look at it on the film, it looks like a charge. So I thought that was a missed one. There was another open-handed slap to the face that, again, I don't understand why they will not call them. But other than that, at least there wasn't as many elbows thrown to the face tonight that we had to endure.
What did you think that Malachi gave?
Well,
this is in poor taste for Nate Nurse. I actually liked Nate Nurse until this series. And now... Take your ass up like a man.
Bitch this much.
Nah, we're gonna definitely give him some depends.
The refs were bad for both teams. You adjust to the refs, and that's the one thing. Guess what? What else we saw a lot less of from Harden and Embiid?
Flopping.
Yeah.
No, the hands in the air, letting the ball get stripped because they're looking for a call. Like they played through it. They played through it, like. They had 3 turnovers last game, I think. And I think they probably had like 4 or 5 this game. They're taking care of the basketball. This is good.
I mean, I'm just saying, guys.
Staley. Look at her swagger, bro. Look at her swagger, bro. Look at him.
If y'all want to send that to the NBA, let that dominate the W. Let that dominate NCAA. Let it dominate.
She's going to dominate it, but we already seen someone dominate the NCAA before.
Who?
Gene Auriemma and Pat Summitt.
He's a man. And
Pat Summitt is a woman.
Dawn Staley going to take the game to height that Pat Summitt can't. Pat Summitt was in Tennessee. She had a Southern draw. She ain't wearing Balenciaga shirts. She ain't got the swag that a Dawn got. Let that sister rock.
Yo, she gonna rock. Why not let her be the first to do something, bro?
Because I don't want her to be the first.
That's just you.
I'm old school.
But you're the only one. Like, everybody else wanted to get a moment.
Men play with the men. Women play with the women.
You're going to get us canceled. I knew you was going to get us canceled when we invited you on here. You're going to get us canceled. Women can do what men do, all right?
No, like, they can't.
They can do exactly what men do.
Lead a toilet seat up. Lead a toilet seat up.
They can easily. They just fall in.
They can't do it. It'll bother the shit out of them.
I mean, technically, but they can still use it.
Yes. So, Mikey, yes, we are done with your earmuff segment. Earmuffs can come off now. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's have another conversation real quick, because we have not had this opportunity to talk about some of these postseason awards, the regular season awards. So the most improved player list came out. Tyrese Maxey's not on it.
Okay.
I don't understand how. Watching the jump from season one to season two, I do understand. I do understand how.
That's not. To be real with you, we all knew this was coming from him. Like, we saw what he did in the playoffs last year. Like, do we know the young boy can play? Like, to give him that is meaning that he might not ever win an MVP, and I see MVP in his future. Like, the way he playing,
Maxey.
Yeah, the way he's been. Like, this. Okay, this is what y'all need to understand.
This is my point. Ja was already one of the best players in the NBA. How's he most improved?
Listen, and I'm telling you this, and I'm saying this now. We already had watched in the playoffs last year what Maxey can really do. Dude could go. We already knew that. When we started the season, who was we talking about? We were talking about Ben Simmons possibly not playing and Tyrese Maxey having a breakout year. But he had already done it in the playoffs. Like, for real, he'd already done it. So, all he did was continue what he's doing, and now he's continuing his reign on the playoffs as he did last year. This dude is a superstar in the making, bro. Like, y'all can say what y'all want to say.
And he was the 21st pick.
And there's no only reason he dropped.
20 GMs looked at him and went, I don't know.
There was no NCAA tournament. There was a tournament.
Sure, I'll give you that. That's a good point.
He would have went higher. Thank God it wasn't.
Kentucky struggled that year, too.
He fell to us. And remember, Kentucky is such an elite school with McDonald's All-American. Devin Booker didn't even start.
No. didn't even really hoop that year. I thought he was Drake on the pitchers.
He didn't hoop. JD, you know it. He didn't hoop.
He didn't hoop for real while he was there. But that's just what I'm saying, though. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Is Ja Morant not the most improved player?
Yes.
He is, by far. Like, it's not even – come on, Chip.
Compared to what he already was, though.
That's what makes him special.
That's what makes it super crazy, and that's scary. He could also be in the MVP conversation.
That is one I really don't have
– that I agree with.
More than the MVP. The most improved player I'm not worried about, because I think there's bigger and better awards than Maxey.
True.
With NB, I know for a fact his shelf life is quote unquote shorter. And these years that he's putting together to give him that trophy would be awesome. But honestly, I also think that him not getting that MVP is going to make it that much sweeter and make him more hungry to hold that Larry O'Brien. So if that means he doesn't get individual awards, I'm good with that.
So let's talk about this MVP award. The finalists for the MVP are Joel Embiid, who's kind of been the front runner all year and has just continued to put in huge numbers, huge work, whether I don't give a shit if it was free throws or not, right? Huge numbers, huge work. You've got Jokic, who won last year and has not really done anything differently this season. Like, he didn't do anything to elevate his game. He just he stayed at the same level. And Giannis, who wasn't even really in the conversation until the last month.
Bro, this is...
And Embiid is not going to win the award again.
I think he is. I would be...
You think this is all smoke that's being blown?
I do, because at the end of the day, they got to try to make it fair. Like, they can't... Like, it's very rare that you see somebody be MVP number one from the start to the finish. Even the year... I went back and looked at this. Even the year that Iverson won it, they put somebody in that race to kind of throw it off.
You keep talking. Keep talking, because I like where you're going. Keep talking.
So when we watched, go back and look in 2001 season when Iverson won it, they threw somebody in there at the last minute to kind of like make everybody to kind of move it around, because they couldn't let him be MVP from the beginning to the end. They throwing Giannis in there because he's a familiar face, to kind of take viewers' eyes away. They're throwing Jokic in there because, of course, he got slighted last year. And Joel has played more games and he's been more consistent this year than he was last year. And that was the only thing that people could say last year about him is that he missed a lot of games. Well, this year they can't say that. And he's been just as dominant. Tonight I watched this dude shoot a turnaround three-point jump shot at 7-2.
Yeah, come on.
Why are we mad? Like, honestly, I don't foresee him not getting it, but I'm with Prince in the same mindset that if he don't get it, that Larry O'Brien is going to mean more to him than anything. Like, I mean, like, oh, so y'all slighted me again? What I got to do, go out here and win the chip? Okay, I'm going to do that. And he's the type of person that's so narcissistic that he's going to have to do it. Like, nothing will stop him at that point. So I'm in the same thought. I want him to get it, but as a Sixer fan, I also rather him get the Larry O'Brien.
I'd rather him get finals MVP. And this is my thing. Just to piggyback on what you were saying, JD, I honestly believe that some of the writers, because even a lot of the writers was like, I got 5 minutes to put my ballot in. So they're stat watching. They're paying attention to VORP and Veep and Reap and all those other stupid analytics to pump up Jokic. But I also believe it's strategic by the NBA to make it count down the wire, make these regular season games count. Oh, I don't know if Embiid can get it. They're coming down to three people. Make those games count because the NBA already has an issue with the regular
season. Don't get reticent. You still got to stay aggressive and attack.
Tough shot from Joel Embiid.
Come on.
Are you kidding?
Besides Kate Scott, that was awesome.
Besides Kate Scott, that was like, that's some Jordan crap. That's some Kobe stuff right there. And this man is a 7-footer.
A legit 7-footer. Not that line on the program where he's like 6'9 in sneakers and all that BS. He's a legit 7-footer.
Wasn't LeBron when there were talks about LeBron being an MVP candidate for Kansas City at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Until they didn't make the playoffs?
Yeah.
You see how funny that is? Now I'm trying to lay something out for him. I'm trying to give you a story. Like, don't you see how funny that is now? Because they try to throw likable names to kind of get people excited about voting. Oh, that LeBron is going to win the scoring title, this, that, and the third. And it's like all these things that they try to compile and generate these stories, especially national media. But if you look at the Philadelphia media, everybody's been talking about Joel getting the MVP since week like 2 or 3. Like, we've all
since last season when he didn't get it.
Right. So that's been on the Philadelphians' mind since the beginning. Now, elsewhere there will be problems, but it is what it is.
Okay. I'm maximizing here because I need to say some controversial things.
Can't hear you. You must have unplugged.
No, I hit my button. Everybody hates on the Philadelphia 76ers because of the process, right? And how we cheated our way to what we have. Ignoring the fact that we sat through Andrew Bynum, Nerlens Noel, Markelle Fultz, all these guys who are – they were never – Tony Roten. Like, we had all these guys that – okay, fine. We sat through them, and we cheated our way to get to the players we have now. So we always hear about how much they don't want to reward the process. And if I honestly feel like if they don't give Embiid the award, the MVP award, it's because they don't want to reward the process. But how have we not talked more about LeBron James bleeding another franchise dry? He did it with Cleveland and left them. He did it with Miami and left them. He did it with Cleveland again and left them. And now he's doing it with the Lakers. He got his championship and he is bleeding them dry. The fact that LeBron James took the team that he had, compiled this super team, who, okay, fine, maybe they were never healthy, but whatever. And they don't even make the playoffs. And he doesn't even play in the last couple games because he is a the conversation about GOAT and the greatest of all time is over. It's Michael Jordan 5, 6, 7 times over. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm done with this conversation that the two are – look, they both have their things and they both have their stats and they both have this. LeBron James, while he is a great individual athlete, he is one of the greatest players individually of all time. He needs more to help him succeed as a member of a team than anybody else I've ever seen. And he is bleeding the Lakers dry. And where is he going? And then he puts out, well, I'm going to play my last couple seasons with my kid. Don't care where it is. Don't care the money, but I'm going to go. So what does that do for the Lakers? He doesn't care. I'm over this conversation. Michael Jordan's the GOAT, and I'm done with it.
Prince, you said you got a dip. Go ahead.
I'm not about to argue. I've been saying I'm Team MJ all day. I just bought a pair of LeBrons the other day. So shout out to LeBron. I mean, that alone makes MJ the GOAT. The fact that out of 19 LeBron shoes that have been released, I have three.
And people are still buying the OG MJs.
Thank you. He's had three silhouettes that I've liked out of 19 sneakers. MJ, I like all the silhouettes except when he started going more towards the performance side, like after 13, then I'm like, yeah, nah, we good on that. But other than that, 1 through 13, fire. That's GOAT status within itself. Now, with all that said, the moment LeBron realized, and I believe it's the moment LeBron realized he wasn't getting to six, he started chasing stats. And you can see with ESPN, LeBron James is the first player in history to score 25, 8, and 8 when it's raining, when the arena is selling hot dogs for $1.50. What? Like, who cares? MJ got six of them things, six finals MVPs, never went to a game seven. One of the clutchest athlete that ever laced them up. Period, boom, bat, boom. Like, he ain't no 3 for 9 or 3 for 10. He ain't 15 under, 25 games under, whatever, can't make the play-in. None of that BS. Oh. MJ is the GOAT. LeBron is a very, very, very – he's up there. If he's top three – that's fine. I don't give a jump. But Jordan better be one because LeBron ain't the GOAT.
Make me be. Are you about to go? You about to be done, Prince?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Prince, tell people where they can find you real quick, and I'm going to give you guys my thought process about this LeBron thing.
You can find me at Real Prince Blue on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Make sure you check out tomorrow, Real Time with Prince Blue. I got Philadelphia's own media sensation and host of the very popular Farzi show. I got Mark Farzetta on tomorrow. I'm also co-hosting with Danny Chiara tomorrow, aka Danny Cheese. And Danny, I have a very special announcement tomorrow for the future of Real Time, brought to you by Drippy DP2LPLLC. My new cuzzo, let's go. I'm out. Love you,
bro.
Peace out, Chip.
Bye, buddy. Thanks for joining.
Gotta love that guy.
Gotta I do. Love him. Wait, real quick. You'll love this. Joel Embiid on the Nick Nurse Exchange. I respectfully told him to stop bitching about calls.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, you have thoughts. Go ahead.
To LeBron piece, man. Like, I've been telling you guys that LeBron was a mental midget even when he walked off the court and didn't shake hands. LeBron has done these things throughout his career that has made him kind of like not goatish. You know what I'm saying? Like putting together these teams, ripping these teams apart to get his five. LeBron is that guy. He's the best player on this five that plays pickup. Like when you go play pickup, he's always got his five. You know, like most people come to the gym and play pickup. LeBron calls his homeboys to the gym every time.
And hey, we're rolling. Yep.
Yeah, we're rolling. Like, we're going to be here this time. They walk in the gym together. They come together, got the same matching bags. They normally wear the same shoes. They like a team even when they play pickup. But when he can't play with the same team that he's supposed to play pickup with, he doesn't want to play. Or he takes his ball and leaves. I'm just not here for that anymore. Like, I never have been a big player, like a big like fan of LeBron on the court. Great man, I believe. If you look at the team, he would not even be a top toy. No, he wouldn't right now. He's got one chip in an asterisk year for sure. That's an asterisk
in an year. Asterisk year. That what's people forgetting about that? Yeah, people are forgetting that he won a championship in a bubble.
Yeah, they won a championship in a bubble. Had no success since then. And so let's be honest. Let's be honest for a minute. We always talk about the accolades of Jordan, like how Jordan did it. The beginning of LeBron's career, they said that he wouldn't take the big shot. And they wouldn't take the big shot. He was shying away from the moment, so on and so forth. He goes out later on, makes one of the best defensive stops in NBA history when he blocks Iguodala.
Sure.
They go on and win a championship. Cool. But there's a lot of players that have championships during LeBron's tenure. And we cannot say that about players in Jordan's era. When Jordan took over and started winning championships, he never looked back. The only way anybody got one is when he decided, well, then the league so-called suspended him for gambling and getting his pops killed. You know, those are the only times where you see, like, listen, Hakeem was arguably one of the best big men of all time. And he didn't even get a championship to after Jordan, like, took 2 years off. And people can say what they want to say about Pippen. Okay, cool. But Pippen didn't win a championship without Jordan. So one of these things is not like the other. I know plenty of players who got chips after they left LeBron. Like, they just have.
Look, I think that LeBron James has been the face of basketball since he was 14 years old. You know what I mean? When he was coming up into high school and all of that began, and then he jumps right to I mean, he's been the face of basketball. So, like, good on him. You know what I mean? Good on him. He's going to have the stats. He's going to go down as statistically one of the greatest players of all time. But when you look at every – and, you know, he's done a huge, huge amount for the culture of basketball. I would say he's probably done more for the culture than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan brought in the shoes. But besides that, he was just like, I'm just going to go play basketball. You know what I mean?
Jordan made the game international. So let's
correct. Correct.
The game wasn't international before Jordan.
Correct. So I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Yeah. But when all is said and done, people are tired of LeBron James, man. They are. They're tired of him.
They got fatigue. They got a lot of – they got 18 years of fatigue. They only had to deal with 13 years of Jordan, and they got 18 years of fatigue with LeBron James. And it's just like they're fatigued. They now people are just asking for him to retire, like. I mean, he keeps breaking these records, and these records really don't mean anything because he's not winning the games that he needs to win to even be in the conversation at the end of the year. Like, how can you be out in the first round the last 3 years and people are considering you to go? If this is the downward spiral of your career, then if you're not making the playoffs in the last 3 years or you're out in the first round, we haven't seen you in a conference championship in so long that. Why are we still having a conversation about this guy? Okay, he's older doing it. That's great. That's very great. I mean, Tom Brady is winning championships in his 40s.
And that's my point, is that if he was still playing at the level that people expect him to be, that's a different conversation. But his team did not even make the Western Conference playoffs this season. On a team where he brought in Anthony Davis a couple years ago, he brought in the – NBA career leader in triple doubles, and he was exposed all year. You brought in a backup in Dwight Howard, who is still a damn good player for what he is at his age. You know, you had guys stepping up who had no business being at the – you brought in Melo. Like, you brought in all of these guys, and it's like he didn't do anything.
The experiment didn't work, guys. Let's just be rid of it.
And you fired the coach. You fired the coach like it was his damn fault.
But my thing is, when they fired Vogel, it came out like a day before. They're like, this could possibly Vogel's last game. And I'm like, okay, cool. But, like, you should fire your GM. You should fire LeBron. Like, what are you doing? Like,
you should fire LeBron.
You should fire LeBron. And now LeBron, even if he decides to come back or not, LeBron and AD, he brought in the porcelain guy in Anthony Davis, who's played maybe 30% of the last 3 years of his career, and even less than that before that. He brought this guy in who's been so non-existent the last couple of years, and it's just like, okay, well, LeBron as a GM stinks, like sucks ass cheeks. So what are we talking about here? LeBron needs to step back. He's going to leave his team decimated when he leaves. Like, he leaves every other team in ruins.
That's what I'm saying. He's a freaking wrecking ball.
Wins the championship, and after that, you won't see him again. So, like, right now, like, everybody's saying, I think the greatest Laker of all time is Kobe Bryant. He didn't win the most championships as a Laker, but he's the greatest Laker. He never played for anybody else. Like, he's the guy that you – I mean, Magic Johnson's probably second because he never played for anybody else.
Kareem's up there.
Kareem, but Kareem played for Milwaukee, I think, first. He played with the Bucks.
He did.
So he played with the Bucks first. As I think he played as Jabbar, but, you know, there's just a bunch of guys. There's, like, Shaq played for another team before he got with Kobe. So there's a lot of players that we consider great Lakers. You know what I'm saying? But I think that the greatest Laker of all time, even it's Kobe. It's top five. It's Kobe. But in that top
because five. Kobe's in the top five of players in NBA history.
Right. And I do believe that LeBron is in top five players in history for sure. Just my personal opinion of LeBron is just going down. Like it was, I was saying he was a number two, right? I said he's a strong number two. And as the years are going on, and I'm watching what he's doing and how he's negatively affecting his legacy based on what he's doing to teams that he's leaving. Like
these it's
teams,
the Brett Favre situation all over again.
Like, look at Brady, though. Like, okay, so let's say this. Like, we talk about GOATs, and we always saying Tom Brady's a GOAT. Tom Brady's never left this team in a worse situation when he left. Even when he left New England, they got picks from that.
Right.
You know, they got something from – some type of compensation from him leaving. So I don't know.
It's really tough because, again, I compare it right now to when Brett Favre was holding on for way longer than he should have. Brett Favre was a top-tier talent in the NFL. He played. He won Super Bowls. He was great. And they were like, all right, we just got Aaron Rodgers. You're good to go. So he goes to Minnesota where he doesn't play great. He goes to the Jets where he doesn't play. You just watch his career steadily plummet. That's what I see happening to LeBron James right now. Where he may still have an individual great game.
Yeah. This is not the league anymore. Let's just be real. He's the face. He's the face of the franchise. He's the face of the business. But he's definitely not. I mean, he's still selling tickets too. But like at the same time, like Prince said, man, this league is in good hands, and the guys that really have taken over the league, and one of them's name is Steph Curry, and unfortunately, we just got to call a spade a spade.
But you look at how the game has changed, right? So when LeBron James came into the league, it was, you know, the scoring and the dominant, like he was dominant. Now it's a shooter's league again.
Yeah.
You know, there's discussion about having a 4-point line because of what guys like Curry and Trae Young can do.
I mean, in reality, the way that the game is always changing and evolving, guys like LeBron, he's still a physical specimen, so he's always going to be able to get to a bucket. But when you need him to be who you paying him to be, he would have to submit to another star, and they thought that was going to be Anthony Davis, but Anthony Davis can't seem to like walk from the arena.
He can't get healthy, lot,
you know, without breaking his ankle. So like. You know, like we're in a really weird spot with LeBron here, where LeBron could be a great number two somewhere. He could be a really strong number two, but he needs a number one, and bringing the geriatric squad with him wasn't going to do that. So it's been
the league is only getting younger. You know, like they move Chris Paul over to a team like Phoenix, but they already have a Devin Booker. They already have, you know, DeAndre Ayton, who is on the up and coming. They've got these guys already. Chris Paul just has to be a facilitator.
Yeah, Bridges, all those guys. I mean, listen, that team that Chris Paul is in the perfect position. He can be a strong number two. Like, I mean strong because he's not having to be asked to do it.
He doesn't ever need to shoot the ball. No. He is what Rajon Rondo was to all of those Celtics teams.
And look at that team now. Like now, look at what the league's left with now. Like so, now you got the Boston Celtics, who are still really young. They're scrappy. The Nets are, you know, I feel like the Nets are coming. I feel like they're gonna be there in the end when it's all said and done. Milwaukee looks really strong. Miami looks really strong. Philadelphia looks really strong going forward, especially with Maxey being so young. A lot of these teams, Phoenix, Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota. Minnesota looks like they're going to be really young and really good. Cats finally got some guys that want to play and some dogs with them. So, I don't know, man. And we can't forget about the Warriors still. Like, I don't know, man. It's just it's a lot of things that's going against LeBron, and I think LeBron is going to have to blow that team up, unfortunately, to get out of there.
All right. We're coming up on an hour. I got to do one shenanigan, and I'm not going to point it out. I'm going to put it on the screen. I want you to see what you notice that is just absolutely ridiculous and hysterical.
Okay. I'm nervous. Why is his feet in the ice? He didn't play.
DeAndre Jordan has his knees heavily wrapped and his feet in an ice bucket after playing exactly 0 minutes tonight.
No, but why? Okay.
I wonder if it's the same bucket that Joel Embiid used. Like, he's trying to absorb this, the ability to play basketball.
Like, do you think that's Michael's special juice? Like, it's like the it goes in after halftime and he gives him a special juice. Listen, I don't know. I can't speak on what is actually happening, but I know that he has his knees wrapped too, though. Like, it's like
that's what I'm saying. His knees are heavily wrapped,
and his feet are in the ice bath. I'm not sure.
There you go, Adam. Don't laugh at him. He was the first off the bench to high five everyone during timeouts. Top end speed.
Yeah, that's definitely four flat speed. Speaking of four flat speed, non shenanigan wise, the NFL draft is coming up soon, buddy.
Yo, that's next week's conversation, my friend.
We're gonna be somewhere, right, for that?
No, because that place is opening night, so we're gonna hold off on that.
Okay, perfect. Are we gonna do something for that, though?
I don't know yet. We might.
Let's talk to our benefactors. Let's find out what the people want. Do you guys want, like, let's ask the question. This week, let's put out a poll. Let's find out if they want us to do like a live reaction to this. And you get your top three guys.
Yes, it's funny because Adam's in the comments and he literally messaged me earlier, like, are we doing something? I'm like, I don't know. But we might do something. So, real quick, this is a shenanigan from 2 weeks ago that I was gonna share. This is why DeAndre Jordan can't be playing right now. I want you to – DeAndre Jordan is number nine, for those of you that don't know. Watch his elite defensive skills.
I can't wait to see this. They're going to score this basket?
Again. I want to point out that that man was just icing his knees.
And his ankles.
So.
That's a lot to unpack.
JD, what you got coming up this week?
Tomorrow I'm producing this. So it did take a 2-week hiatus to get the house sold and to get a house purchased. Closing is going to be in May. So I'm going to shut it back down again for like 2 more weeks in May while I get my studio set up and I get everything done. So for those of you guys who watch me on my network, we've also went through a revamping of our network. We now have a new name, D2N. We are now an official LLC. I got us officially licensed. So all of our gear will be licensed now. But we are official LLC now. So we're going to do some changes. We're going to go through a little process where we're going to do under construction type deal. I'm really excited about it. New shows, new format for the next sort of off season. And of course, I'm going to be a teacher and I'm going to be coaching next year. So things are going to be shifting for me in that way, of course. And for everybody who's been with us and, you know, been with us through this process, Prince, Carm, all my guys, Terrence, CJ, Chris, now Danny. Danny Cheese is with us now. The girls, Way to Philly girls. Whoever's been with us since the beginning, they're coming back. Nobody's leaving. We're not falling out. None of that stuff. We just got to go through a revamp period while I get myself situated and being the producer of most of the shows. I got to have my computers and stuff set up so I can do that job that I do. So I'm excited for that. So that's going to be coming up. Tomorrow we'll be back normal. Like I said, Danny and Prince have their new show they're going to be doing. Mark Farzetta, dude. We got like a legit local celebrity on this mug. Make sure you check out Farzy show with our guys over at Real Time Prince Blue. We're also going to be doing these post-game shows. We're going to start back in round two because for us, that's when the playoffs start. We're going to be doing post games every night from that point, even if I have to let Prince take it over to do post games. But yeah, that's what's going on. And maybe you three will start back. I'm not sure though. We're going to see. We're going to see. What about you, man? What you got going on?
So we got all kinds of good stuff. Make sure you are, you know, obviously liking, subscribing, all of our stuff. You know, JD's, I love watching JD stuff. I'm usually frequently commenting and messing with you while you're on there trying to be official.
Trying to throw me off my game.
I know, that's what I do. But again, you know, you can always follow us. We are, you know, AAT Sports Network at AAT Sports _ AAT Birds is mostly focused on the Eagles stuff. We have our show on YouTube called Fandemonium, where we've been talking to Eagles fans about what their fandom looks like. Tomorrow, I'm not sure if there's anything. I know Wednesday we have a Eagles draft preview. We did one last week. We're going to do another one. We have Andrew Jajeko on. So make sure you're checking that out. I will probably not be on that show because I'll be umpiring and then watching the Sixers game because that is what I do. But who knows? Maybe I'll pop in and, you know, split screen as the Phillies are getting their ass kicked right now. We always have Across the Pitch, which is our Philadelphia Union soccer show. We have Birds, Beers, and BS. We got all kinds of great shows, so make sure you are liking, subscribing, sharing. Awesome sponsors, including Statement Games, a fun free twist on fantasy sports. Link is in the bio. The AATSportsNetwork.com/shop. Make sure you're checking them out. Symbol is the stock market for sports. Symbol.com, code AAT Sports when you sign up. Triple Threat Bets at TripleThreatWagers.com. And then we have two eateries that you can go to, including Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant, which is in the Old Town Shopping Center in Allentown, Vinny's Pizza PA.com. And then also in Allentown in the same shopping center is Stuff to the Grills at StuffToTheGrills.com. So that's what we got.
Can I do a shameless plug real quick?
Shame plug away.
So, guys, I know you heard that Chip and them, they have a show, this Fandemonium show. I was on, like, my hiatus last week and last 2 weeks painting. I listened to all the Fandemonium episodes on YouTube, dude. Like, I got to say this, like, you and Johnny deserve your flowers, man. That show is absolutely phenomenal, bro. Like, it is informative. You get to hear stories about how people became fans, how their fandom started. Man, it's one of the coolest shows. It's one of the coolest podcasts that people don't talk about. You know, they just been doing all these different we've been doing all these different ones. Extra can I convince you to give him extra points? I'll talk to him offline about that for you.
Your grade is fine. You have a test on Thursday that we'll talk about it.
So that show's phenomenal, guys. If you don't have anything else to do, if you do, even put it on your ears. Just put it in, pop it in the earbuds, and listen to it. Dude, I rocked out painting. I couldn't even really watch it because I was actually painting. I tried to do a good job because we wanted to get money for the house. So I, you know, listened to it, and dog, it's really good, man. I wanted to tell you that on air to let people know, man. That show is dope, man, for real. Keep doing it.
Yeah, that show – I said I had the idea one day, and I've reached out to Johnny. I'm like, what about if we just talk to, you know, Eagles fans about why they're fans? And by the end of that day, he had created the intro video and the flyer, and then we had a list of like 25 some people. So we actually last week we recorded, I think, 4 episodes on layaway. So we're good for the next month. But we've had some really, really cool people. We've had Chris Molly, who's doing a lot of draft stuff now.
Love Chris.
We've had Chris Romanelli, who's a writer for us. He's a season ticket holder. So you got to hear about the inner workings of like what you get for being a season ticket holder. We've had Jeff Warren from the Philadelphia Sports Table podcast. We've had Real Prince. We've had Prince on. He was on an episode. Vince Quinn. We've had Louis DiBiase. We've had E-Rock from 4th and John. We've had Gail Saunders from 4th and John. So these guys are all coming up. We're getting Rob Motti to come on. We're even pushing for people like, you know, Mike Trout and Bradley Cooper. That's kind of where we got the idea. Like, these are famous Eagles fans. Why? And we just talked to them about that.
Yo, the show's dope, man.
Yeah, we're big fans.
I can't come on the show necessarily because, you know, I'm not an Eagles fan per se. But man, I'm looking forward. Even in my move, I'm gonna be watching a lot of Eagles football while I'm there. I'm still gonna write for the Eagles. Of course, I'm at home. Probably pick up some But the big issue now is the Clemson. Clemson is a big hot topic right now. So I can't wait to talk to Johnny U about that. That's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be so interesting. I can't wait, dude. And I'll be going to the games because I'll be like 45 minutes away. So it's gonna be dope.
Oh snap. Well, listen, it is 11:15. I gotta go teach the children in the morning, including Mikey. Mikey, this is your time. You need to go to sleep.
Take your ass.
I'm Chip at Chip for the Birds.
I'm Drip. From 2DN. Sounds weird to say.
I know. I'm not sure I got that. I'll get it.
2DN.
But you're still ooh underscore Oracle.
Or D2N.
D2N.
D2N. D to N.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.